FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
The Phil Nason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour. Mainly, we'll talk fantasy sports. We'll talk fantasy basketball with Jason Walker. We'll also talk fantasy hockey with Brian Rutherford from RotoWire. But up first, the Miami Heat took out my Knicks last night. That kind of sucked. But then the Knicks sucked. So I kind of expected it. And joining me to talk all about that and a whole bunch more Miami Heat stuff, please welcome from HotHotHoops.com, David Ramil is in the house. David, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Phil. Thanks for having me once again.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Man, you know what? We're longtime fans of our teams. I like that. I'm a Knicks fan. You are a Heat fan.
Yeah.
Watching that game, I only got to see the highlights because I was really busy doing some other stuff, and I really didn't want to watch the Knicks right now because they just give me agita. But this was nothing compared to what it used to be, is it? This isn't even a rivalry anymore, is it?
No, it's not. I don't know if it's a matter of the fact that the personnel has changed as much as it has. There's just, and for the most part, the Knicks have been very mediocre over the last decade, maybe even longer. So it's hard to take them seriously as a threat or a contender. And Carmelo Anthony just doesn't have enough anger to him to really kind of piss off Miami Heat players. So to be honest with you, this hasn't been a rivalry since the 90s, maybe early 2000s. And the score in the first period, though, was very reminiscent of those types of matchups when it was Patrick Ewing versus Alonzo Mourning, in the sense that both teams shot very badly last night. I think it was 21-18 at the end of the first quarter, which was right along those classic 85-82 playoff battles in the Eastern Conference Finals when the Heat and Knicks met those many years ago.
Yeah, it's not the same. There's no question. And you're right. Carmelo doesn't bring about that in anyone, because you know what? You let Carmelo get his points and then you just shut down everybody else.
Right.
And actually, you don't even have to shut anyone else down. They shut themselves down. They're just terrible. The
Absolutely.
Knicks are awful. But Dwayne Wade returned after, what, 6 games off, was it?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Actually, it was 7 games.
7 games. How did he do?
He did excellent, man. He was really amazing. I think he was actually the difference maker in that fourth quarter there when the Heat allowed the Knicks to come back into it. He was 11 of 18, 27 points. He still had, 5 rebounds. He was passing the ball, 5 assists, but his timing was a bit off. You can tell that there was a little bit of rust there as he's still trying to work himself into, playing with guys like Luol Deng and then Josh McRoberts and others that he hasn't had much familiarity with over the course of his career. So he had 7 turnovers, but overall, it was a great game from him, and kind of what was missing over those last 7 games without him, where you didn't have anybody who would really step up and kind of put the Heat over the hump, so to speak, and really carry the team. And that's what he did in the fourth quarter.
That's what he did. The score was a lot closer than what the game actually was. But still in all, it's Dwayne Wade. He's back. Now, what do you do when you watch him now? Do you wonder, is he going to play? When's the next time you're going to see him? Is that what you think? Or how do you look at him now when you see him play?
I think the policy this year is different than last, in that he's not going to take off back-to-back sets. He's not going to take off a game in back-to-back sets. I think the expectations are that he's going to be missing chunks of games here and there, rather than a game here, a game there, a game here, a game there. It'll be more about him being healthier in the long run and still being able to contribute. And just like I said, taking chunks of games off. I think part of the reason why he missed those last 7 games was because of the big, the big gap in play between their previous game, which was Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and then until Sunday. So they had several days off in between two games there, and that was part of the reason why they just wanted to kind of have him continue to build strength. And now, obviously, he's at full strength. He looked really great last night. He was backing down bigger players. He was, you know, defending Carmelo Anthony as well as he possibly could, and he looked really solid overall. So I'm not too worried about it. I don't think Heat fans are. If he misses five games and, you know, six games here and there throughout the course of the season, he'll probably only do it once more. Worst case scenario, I could see him missing a total of another 15 games over the course of the season, but I would hope that's not the case. And I think we can expect a much better version of Wade this year than what we saw last year, where he was still really, really good.
Well, let's hope, you know, because we want to see Miami play at full strength. Even though I don't like them, I still want to see them play at full strength. It makes for my radio show to be better, too. but I have to be honest. But here's the thing is, too, you got a couple rookies.
Yeah,
I like this Ennis kid. What's going on with Ennis and Napier?
Their minutes have been, well, let's see. James Ennis, his minutes have been very inconsistent. I think you and I probably talked about this before. He's got the total package there. I mean, he's really athletic. He's a solid defender. He's got, you know, long range shooting ability. He can do it all. And, you know, early comparisons to LeBron James were kind of overblown and ridiculous, but you still see some of that potential, not obviously to reach, you know, LeBronian levels, but he's a very good player, but he just doesn't put it all together consistently enough for Eric Spoelstra's case. So, I mean, to his liking, he has a very tight leash when it comes to Ennis. If he makes a couple of mistakes here and there, he's going to yank him back to the bench. And that's hard on a rookie. I guess he's just trying to make sure that he continues to develop and be a much more regular contributor. And until he gets to that point in practice and on the games, he's not going to get those kind of steady minutes. But last night, there were stretches there where he was actually the best scorer for the Heat. I mean, he could do it all. He only played 10 minutes, and he scored 7 points during those 10 minutes. And then, you know, Eric Spoelstra takes him out of the game and doesn't put him back in at any point. So it's kind of confusing. Spoelstra's rotations have always been very difficult to predict, and I think the rookie is just another one of those cases. Napier, that's not the case. He has a lot of faith, Spoelstra does, in Napier. I think mostly because he's a four-year player in college, because he's proven that he has a lot of clutch, you know, shooting opportunities, and he's willing to take and make those big shots. He's a very confident floor leader. So you see Napier, and you see the future of the Heat point guard position. I think Norris Cole's contract issues are going to be something that's going to be lingering on and off, but Napier just looks great. His three-point shooting ability has improved over the course of the regular season from where it was during summer league. So he's a very solid player, and, you know, I think he's going to continue to grow, eventually overtaking that starting position and be a long-time contributor for Miami.
Yeah, I tell you what, I like James Ennis, man. He is something. But this Napier kid, I think there's a lot of merit to what you say there, too, because he did play 4 years in college. They won together. He showed himself on the national stage. He showed himself not to be a coward when it mattered. And I think that's something that a guy like Pat Riley and obviously Eric Spoelstra appreciate, respect, and whatever. Ennis, again, maybe not so unproven. But you got to admit, at least I see this. Maybe I'm completely out there in left field. Wouldn't be the first time. That kid's got some serious star potential.
I agree. I think, you know, if he continues to, like I said, put it all together and be much more consistent both in practice and in game situations, it's hard to see exactly what the limit is for him, because he has just incredible range. You know, he's lanky. He's a hell of a defender when he's engaged. And that's kind of the thing with him, is that there's a lack of mindfulness there. And I think that's a problem for Spoelstra, in that he wants his players to be fully engaged all the time. And Ennis just hasn't shown that capacity yet. So there's a very high ceiling for him, and hopefully he'll reach it.
Yeah, I hope so too, because he's interesting. I actually drafted him in fantasy basketball in the last round. I took a flyer, ended up releasing him because he's not getting the minutes, but
right.
He looked really good in preseason because we were watching him pretty close. I'll tell you something else. The Miami Heat have a tough week ahead of them. They have Washington tonight. We're going to preview that in a minute. Atlanta on Wednesday. Friday they have the Bucks, who are nothing to shake a stick at either. Right. And then you've got Memphis on Sunday, the best team in the NBA right now. This is tough. Start with tonight, Washington. What do you see there?
Well, it's going to be an interesting matchup, but this is a very different Wizards team than opening night when Miami was able to pull out a victory. They're on a roll, even though they did have a two-game losing streak that they just snapped versus the Pelicans. They're at full strength with Bradley Beal back in the lineup. They've got that interior presence with Marcin Gortat and Nene Hilario. So that's going to be a little overwhelming. They definitely have an advantage over Chris Bosch and Sean Williams there. You'll probably see Williams guarding Gortat and then Bosch switching off onto Hilario. So that's going to be creating a little bit of a mismatch there for the Wizards' favor. And then once they drive that ball inside, they can kick it out to a wide open Bradley Beal or Paul Pierce. John Wall isn't much of a threat from long range, but he's certainly fast and athletic enough to explode past even a guy like Norris Cole, who has a very well-earned reputation as an on-ball defender. But it's going to be a really tough matchup. Miami's going to have to get incredible contributions, not just from guys like Wade and Bosch, but Luol Deng in particular. He's got his hands full defensively with Pierce, but he's also going to have to chip in a much needed, at least 10 to 15 points tonight. And then the point guard rotation, you've got very different styles in John Wall and then the professor, Andre Miller, coming off the bench. So, either Norris Cole or Shabazz Napier are going to have their hands full and have to really adjust to these differing styles. And we'll see what happens tonight. It should be a good one at 7 o'clock.
It should be a really good one. Washington doesn't shoot the ball from three very well, and that kind of surprised me. I thought that they would be better over their last three games. They're averaging like 19 points a game there. But that's not where they do their damage. This is a weird team. It's hard to put your finger on them. They're like, or I should say they're more like Jell-O. It's hard to nail them to the wall and what they're going to do. And that's not fun. I mean, they average in the paint, they average 41 points a game in the paint. Miami allows that many points a game. See, right. What do you got there? You've got a stalemate.
Yeah. I mean, it could work out either way. If Bosch gets hot from outside the way he did in the second half against the Knicks, it could be a very different game where Miami might be able to pull out a victory. But, again, second night back-to-back sets. It's at Washington, where Miami hasn't had much success over the last few years. They got blown out there last year after they went to the White House to speak to the president following their second straight national championship. And they, they lost by like 30-something points. So it's not a good place for Miami to play. It should be an interesting one, though. I think this is a different team. And we saw, even against a team like the Knicks, we saw some of that, championship-type caliber of play where they were, the Knicks closed the gap in the second half and Miami was confident enough to pull away from them. Hopefully that'll show tonight against Washington as well, because they are a very deep team. They've got some a heck of a group bench there. So the Wizards can be very dangerous.
They certainly can. I'm not as high on them now as I was at the beginning of the season, though. I see so many flaws there.
Sure.
But it's still early. People say we shouldn't judge and critique these teams until at least 20 games in. Nobody believes that. Yeah. It doesn't stop us either. Well, Atlanta on Wednesday, that's going to be a good one.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a great one.
Yeah, another division rival there. Miami has, had on and off success. They've one of four teams to lose to Charlotte this season. The Wizards are a tough matchup, and now the Hawks, who previously beat Miami this season, they've got some deadly outside shooting. They've got an interior presence there as well. Pero Antich, they've got Paul Millsap, Al Horford. So they are very dangerous. They really create some mismatches for Miami that are hard to guard. And you have to have a supreme effort, again, from Deng and from Dwayne Wade, because that's the only way you can possibly exploit the lack of defense from Kyle Korver and others there on the Atlanta bench. So that's going to be a really good one. And it's a divisional statement here. You have to make it. You play these teams like Charlotte, Washington, Orlando, that gave us a hard time a couple weeks ago. These are the kinds of games that this team, that's not as strong as it was during the Big Three era, they were so confident, they were so talented, they could beat these teams very easily. It's not the case anymore. These teams have improved and Miami has taken a step back. So they have to make a statement tonight against Washington and on Wednesday against the Hawks.
Well, I agree. And one of the things that teams have been doing against Atlanta to some success or a certain degree of success is focusing on Kyle Korver, right, and let the others beat him. And it works to a certain degree when Jeff Teague isn't going off, but that should be a really good game. I look for Chris Bosch to get off on that game. For some reason, Paul Millsap doesn't handle him very well. I don't know why that is, but he doesn't. Friday night, you got the Bucks. That should be fun. But the game we got a couple minutes, Memphis. That's going to be a real tough game because those guys are bruisers inside. And let's face it, Miami's interior defense has never been that strong. And they've proven that for them to work, it doesn't need to be. But it still ought to be interesting.
It's a tough stretch for Miami. They've got six games out of their next seven away from home. And you're right about the Grizzlies. Amar'e Stoudemire looked like a beast last night for stretches there against Miami. And, you know, he's clearly not as the player he once was. I don't know what Miami can possibly do to contain Zach Randolph. They can't. Marcus Gasol, again, I don't know how they'll be able to harass him sufficiently where he's thrown off his almost MVP-type season. You know, they're a very good, deep team. They're great defensively. They really clog the lanes, you know, get you to play at their pace. You know, the grit and grind that has defined them for a number of years will really affect Miami and what they want to do, which is get out on the open floor, you know, have their three-point shooters connect from outside so that they can free up their inside game because they're not as strong on the inside. So, you know, they create a lot of mismatch problems for Miami. So that doesn't look like a very good matchup at all.
It sure doesn't, and we'll talk more about that matchup on Thursday with Kevin Leib. Great stuff today, David. Have fun this week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You got it, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, that was David Ramil. You can find him over at hothoops.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
no.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And you're listening to Phil Nason's Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. It's fantasy hockey time, and joining me to do just that and talk a lot of fantasy hockey, answer your questions, and learn a heck of a lot, please welcome from rotowire.com, Brian Rutherford is in the house. Brian, welcome to the show, fellow Ranger fan.
Thanks for having me back, Phil. Yeah, it was definitely a good day yesterday with Cam Talbot in net, huh?
Yes, it was, and it was a good day for Phil, too, because Phil chose Talbot on FanDuel.
Yeah, and with last week's shutout, why wouldn't you, you know? He did it again. It seems the Flyers can't figure him or anyone else out for that matter, huh?
Yeah, that's a fact, and that's a nice thing. And we're recording this on Saturday because we can do that with fantasy sports because everything that we give you for next week, basically, we've already done our work for this week. So starting Monday, which is what we're talking about today, it's all good in the hood. We know what we're doing. Anyhow, Cam Talbot, he's played well. And we got into this a couple weeks ago. Maybe we can continue it on today. Is the whole thing with King Henry, you know, what do you do there? Cam Talbot is pushing him, and it's not a good thing for us.
Well, in a way it is. It really increases his trade value. I think at some point Talbot has to get moved, just for his, you know, for his own career. I think Sather's going to say something at some point. You know, he's been a very decent goalie, very serviceable backup for fantasy owners. Now, if you're thinking of picking him up, I would think again on that. While they do have two back-to-back occurrences this month, the Rangers do, and he'll likely get two starts, that's about the best it's going to come with, you know, only a 12-game schedule this week. I'm just now unburying myself from analyzing the month's schedule starting December 1st, and the Rangers are one of the teams that are least in action. Only Vancouver has less games than the Rangers at 11 for the month. You know, and then you've got some other teams on the contrast. You obviously want to look at teams with 15 games this month, such as I believe it was Anaheim I was looking at that has 15. Let me double check that. But New Jersey looks to have the most rigid schedule with a game on average every other day. So if that's going to be a problem for Mr. Workaholic Corey Schneider, and with Scott Clemenson as the guy who's backing him up, I don't know that you're going to find any work there or any points as a fantasy owner. Tampa Bay, Toronto, they both have 15 games this month. Anaheim only has 14. I was wrong about that, but they do have four this upcoming week, along with looks like at least almost a baker's dozen worth of teams playing four games this week. Vancouver is one of those teams. But after that, like I said, they've only got seven games remaining this month. So definitely want to check out rotowire.com this week. Check out the schedule analysis. I really put a lot of work into it, and I think it'll be helpful to a lot of fantasy owners.
Oh, I know it's going to be helpful. You know, when you mentioned how many games, I might as well get that out of the way before we get into more of what you wrote over at RotoWire. The teams having four games this week are Anaheim, Arizona, Boston, Edmonton, Florida, Montreal, Ottawa, San Jose, Vancouver, and Tampa Bay. And the teams with only two games are the Rangers and the Minnesota Wild. So there you have that. Now, tell us a little bit more about your schedule analysis. What do you do there? Because probably a lot of guys that are listening to this aren't subscribers at RotoWire, and they should be, obviously. But what is the benefit of that schedule analysis that you do?
Well, schedule analysis for the most part is geared towards the weekly owner. However, if you look a little deeper into it and check out some of the notes, often we'll underscore some of the best matchups of the week for certain players. This particular week, because the month starts fresh on a Monday, I basically buried myself in this stuff. This week we'll break down how many home games, how many away games for each team for the month, how many back-to-back occurrences, which is an awesome opportunity for you to pick up rogue points with backup goalies. I also went ahead and gave the total amount of games for the month. And so why is this helpful? Well, you know, if you're looking at picking up a guy who's picking up speed and, you know, putting in production, you may want to consider looking the other way if his team is going to have a light schedule for the month of December.
That's absolutely correct. And that's the good stuff. Now, is it up there now at RotoWire?
We do a schedule analysis every week. Last week is up there. It's a little on the lighter side. Like I said, I buried myself with the opportunity. It doesn't come often where the week starts on a brand new month. And it was a perfect opportunity to really, really get my hands dirty on this one. And I did. So it'll be up there on Sunday at some point.
Okay, I'm looking forward to reading that because that's always great stuff. And that's what you need to do. And by the way, RotoWire is the official stats provider for the Phil Nason Show. We want to thank Kevin over there for hooking us up every year and bringing these guys on the show to give us the 411 and all the advice you need to win your leagues. Now, we got a couple questions, and this is interesting stuff. First of all, let's talk about Marian Gaborik. He's our former Ranger winger. And someone wanted to know, a listener wanted to know, what his fantasy value is going forward for the Kings and for whoever else.
Right. It's a very decent question. It's one I think a lot of fantasy owners try to gauge because Gaborik always winds up going in, you know, early to mid first rounds or early rounds, I should say. I've always felt like Gaborik has been overvalued since leaving Minnesota. He did have that one great season with the Rangers before eventually, you know, getting traded. But his career numbers suggest that if he stays healthy, for some strange reason, he's a 40-goal scorer every other year. Obviously, he's got aging hands, aging legs. We don't know if that sticks. But with 23 goals over the last two seasons, that's right, 23 goals over the last two seasons, we're wondering if that trend is over right there. I'm not really sure how to call Marian Gaborik. He's a bit of a puzzle.
Yeah, he is a puzzle, you know, and it's interesting because he skates on the same line with Anssi Kopitar and Tyler Toffoli, and you would think mm-hmm. that he would get a few more points, but he hasn't. You know, he's had, what, 2 goals and 2 assists, 8 shots on goal in his last 5 games, and when he plays on the power play, which he plays quite a bit, actually, he's with Kopitar and Jeff Carter. So, I mean, you'd think there'd be more from him. In that great year with the Rangers, you know, we got excited because we see this guy do so well, and then all of a sudden, nothing. And who knows what's going to happen. But he's 68% owned. I think I would probably stay away from him in FanDuel leagues, daily leagues. I think he's probably too pricey for that. I don't know what he is right now. Let's see. I'm not sure. What do you think about playing him in a daily league while I dig up this FanDuel deal?
He's $6,800 is his salary right now at the left wing. I didn't pick him. I set my lineup for FanDuel a few minutes before we started talking. I got Elias Lindholm for tonight against Carolina. For some reason, I like what I see out of him against Pittsburgh. I think he's in a small sample. He's got a point per game average. As far as it looks like Columbus with Bob in net last night got beat up by Vancouver. So whoever's playing their backup right now, it doesn't look good for them. So I went ahead and took a pair of Preds. I went ahead and took James Neal as well as Philip Forsberg, both running in just under 1,400 total in salary. Sikach, I believe that's how it's pronounced, against Buffalo. Buffalo's best goaltender, Jonas Enroth. He definitely stood up against Canadians, took a win last night. I don't know if that happens again tonight. And then Carey Price against Buffalo tonight. I think he's worth the kind of salary you're going to have to put up to put him on your FanDuel lineup.
Yeah, I think you're right. I went with King Henry today.
I don't know. What is it about Henry following up Talbot? He hasn't. For some reason, something sticks in my mind about when he follows up. Maybe there's a little extra pressure for him as the number one guy to really put up a good game, and then he puts up a stinker. It seems like it, though, doesn't it?
It does seem like it, but I think he's going to break that curse on Saturday.
I hope so.
The Talbot curse. But it is interesting to see, and I've got some interesting picks out there, but I can't seem to pull it up. FanDuel just kind of like died. But and that's okay. But, yeah, be careful with Gaborik. He's a great player still, but my, oh, my. You know, and on the line he's on, he should be scoring more. And the fact that he isn't makes me nervous. We also have another question. This is a good one, too. This is a guy I ride like a horse, man. Every freaking time he plays over at FanDuel, anyway. Marian Hossa, the Blackhawks star. Someone wants to know if they should sell him high. It'd be a high seller. They think he's probably hit his max. What do you think?
Well, I like Hossa. If you can endure December, which is statistically his worst month, he follows up with statistically his best month in January. So if you were able to trade him now, or if you can't, you start getting a week into it, you may start noticing him slumping a little bit. Hold on to him until after January, and then at that point, if you were to trade him at his highest value and his career numbers ring true, obviously it's going to be best to do it in February during a deadline, which he might actually get moved in real life. He might, there's talk that Hossa might actually get moved from Chicago, depending on where they move him to. If they do move him at all, you may want to retain his services altogether. He doesn't have, great numbers over the course of the last couple of months of the season, but altogether, if Chicago moves him and he winds up playing second fiddle to nobody, that's some you may want to retain. That's a difficult question as well. Hossa is, he's a good value, but I just don't know how that one's going to ring, how that one's going to, play out there for that owner.
I'm keeping him. If it's me, I'm keeping him. Hossa is tough. I like to call him the Hoss because that's what he's done for me. He's been like Hoss Cartwright, taking care of business whenever he needs to. The thing about Hossa is this, and this is what I've noticed. He's played with so many different guys this season on the lines, and it's not good for chemistry. You want to see those lines stay together. He's played with Brandon Saad. He's played with Jonathan Toews. He's played with Kruger. He's played with Smith. He's played with Shaw. I mean, he's got a whole mess of deals, and then he just left Friday's game with an injury, but he should be all right. I wouldn't move him. I would keep him. And I play him at FanDuel. I think I had him the other night, $7,000, and that's the night I cashed. But I appreciate him a lot. Will he get moved? That's the other thing. What Brian said is a good point. And it's probably one of those things that makes me want to keep him because you don't know where he's going to get moved to. But the rumors are pretty strong that he will. And if he goes to a place where he is the sole guy or he's not playing behind 15 freaking guys or whatever, he's going to be something. He's going to put up numbers because Hossa can score. I mean, his last few games, his last five games, he's had 16 shots on goal. He's had five assists and one goal. Those aren't bad numbers. And you're going to get – you got a guy like him shooting 16 times, okay? He's had a couple run-ins with some decent goalies. But there are times when he doesn't, and when he gets those, he's going to light the lamp for you. So often it's going to be you're not even going to think it's funny. So I'm keeping him. That's what I would do.
And just to break off on the point I was making before is that, again, December, statistically speaking over his career, the guy's got 143 points in 182 games. That's much less than a point per game. So you may see a little bit of a dip in his production. But again, come January, 190 points over 197 games throughout his career. I think that's much more serviceable expectations for Hossa. And then in February, yet another dip. And so it looks like he's just like Gabrick in the sense every other, except, over the course of his career, it's every other month when it comes to a point per game average. That's almost like playing operation. You want to be very careful there as to when and how you move him.
Yeah, you don't want to light the nose on fire. Don't turn that nose red. I keep him. I probably would keep Gabrick too, I suppose.
Yeah, don't set the expectation or set the bar too high. Otherwise you're going to wind up disappointed.
All right, we have 1 minute left. We had another question about John Klingberg, the defenseman. What do you think? Do you keep him? Do you pick him up?
Yeah, it's hard to let him go. He put up some goose eggs last night. And, with McDonough coming back, I've had to make some tough decisions on my blue line. But I'm keeping him. I'm keeping him for now. Between him and Yerky, I think it's Yokopaka. You've got two young defensemen in Dallas that seem to be savoring their opportunity, for lack of a better term. I picked up Klingberg after his debut. It appears Sergei Gonchar's exit has really opened up the opportunity for that young Swede. With Gonchar and Dylan gone, Klingberg has been playing first unit power play minutes. That's nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. That's on a line with Tyler Seguin. I mean, how do you drop somebody like that? I wouldn't expect him to maintain at the rate that he's been scoring from. I think he had a 5-point streak come to an end last night. But I'm riding the wave till he bucks me. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't see a reason to drop him at this time.
Oh, I'm picking him up too at 34% owned. Sure, even though they only have three games this week, I'm still picking him up. Anyway, Brian, great stuff today. Thanks for being on the show with me. Good luck this week.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again, Phil.
All right. That's my pleasure. That was Brian Rutherford. You can find him over at rotowire.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well, no. I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Jog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And you're listening to Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're wrapping up an amazing day of fantasy sports and Miami Heat talk. And joining me to close the show and talk a little fantasy basketball with me for the weekly report, subbing for our friend Alex McLean, who was unable to make it. Please welcome from rotoadvice.com, Jason Walker is in the house. Jason, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. I've just loosened up, ready to pinch hit here and do a little fantasy basketball today.
Hope he doesn't get Wally pipped, man. You know, this happens sometimes around here. This is a good thing. I mean, you're going to be here you're going to be here 3 days this week.
That's right. I'm setting up a little couch in the corner and, you know, relax and enjoy a lot of good fantasy sports this week.
Well, you're going to be, you might not get off the couch and sit a chair next to me and keep this up. That's fair enough. And I took a shower this morning, so it's all good in the hood.
It's all good. It's all
good. Absolutely. I have strong deodorant just in case, though. But anyhow, we've got fantasy basketball this week. 15 teams have 4 games this week, Jason, and only one team, Charlotte, has 2 games. And that's something that I focus on quite a bit when I do my weekly reports and my stuff. I make sure to let folks know that I take – amount of games played a week into strong consideration. Always.
Yeah, you got to. It's all about, you know, in those head-to-head leagues, it's all about counting stats. And you need the minutes played. You need the guys who are going to play the minutes. And, you know, if your team's playing four games, obviously, it's a leg up on everything else. Even if they're, you know, a moderate player, they could definitely put up the counting stats over a guy like Al Jefferson who's only going to play twice this week.
Well, exactly. And that's how I do what I do. And I'm sure others do it differently, but I like to let people know up front what I do and how I come up with these conclusions, because they read my sports blog, Jason. They say, geez, yeah, man, I picked up whoever. Well, he's not less than 50% owned. You know, believe it or not, there's more than 10 people reading that. And I have to keep that in mind. But my blog is over at Max Sports Channels. Jason writes a lot of stuff over at rotoadvice.com, so get over there and check it out. Russell Westbrook is back.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, they're not sure when he's coming back. Let's focus on Russell Westbrook today. But more importantly, let's talk about Reggie Jackson's value now that Westbrook is back. Where do you see his value now?
Well, he's back to the bench. You know, his usage was really high. You know, in the games that he was playing, in fact, his usage for the season was well into the upper 20s, around 27%. And that's the amount of – that's the percentage of possessions of a team used by a player. So Jackson was controlling the ball an awful lot with Westbrook out. The first game back, you know, Russell, he played about 24 minutes or so. Russell had the ball and used it 42% of the time. So Russell Westbrook's going to control the game and control the ball. Jackson's minutes immediately dipped down. His usage went down to 17.5%. What that means in fantasy terms is that there's a lot less opportunity for him to put up points. It's a lot less opportunity for him to do anything on the court, so his numbers are going to go down. So whether you're playing a daily league or full season, Jackson now takes a secondary role. Westbrook is back, and obviously he's ready to dominate the basketball again.
He sure is. You know, the one thing is Westbrook only played 24 minutes against New York, and that's all he needed to play. Right. And he damn near got a triple-double, which is pretty big. But you know what the thing is that we'll talk about this on Tuesday's show with the guys from Welcome to Loud City. But the one thing about Reggie Jackson is now he's on the bench, but he's still going to get his minutes. And when you look at their schedule, and that's another thing that you want to do is look at the schedule for the week. When you're picking up now, Reggie Jackson's 100% owned, and I think he should be on your roster no matter what, because he's going to play. He won't score like he did. Go ahead.
Right. You just have to measure your expectations now. He's not going to be out there putting up the mid-20s scoring points. He's going to be a gunner off the bench like he always is. Yeah, you need to look at the schedule. Also check Twitter and check sites like Welcome to Loud City to make sure that maybe Westbrook, you know, on back-to-back games, maybe they give him a little bit of rest. And there you can make sure that Reggie slides in there. If they've got a four-game slate and one of them is a back-to-back and you know that Westbrook's going to play a fewer minutes here and there, then you know you got to get Reggie into your lineup.
And the other thing, too, is this week they have a stretch. Oklahoma City has a stretch where they play Philly, Detroit, and Milwaukee back-to-back-to-back. Now, Milwaukee's a little tougher test. But I think he's going to see some minutes against Philly. He'll see some minutes against Detroit. He'll see about 27 to 30 minutes against New Orleans, too, but in a different role. The other thing to keep in mind about Reggie Jackson is now he's going up against a lot of teams' second point guard and not against the first. So he's going to have probably better opportunities. Once he gets into his role again and readjusts himself to being a sixth man, he's going to be fine. And I think you're going to see that his value at FanDuel is going to go down, and that's when you eat him up, because I think he was at 8,100 against the Knicks. And you see him go down to 65, 64, 63. Here's your backup point guard. He's going to score for you, especially on that second unit. But that's where I put him. I still think he should be owned in every league. I mean, he's going to play.
And sure. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You look at a guy like Jamal Crawford in Los Angeles. You know, he's obviously a secondary guard, but plays plenty of minutes. So, you know, as long as he's around that 30 minutes per game mark, you know, Reggie Jackson's gonna put up the value at that. And you're right. In daily leagues, as it gets down into the about where Jamal Crawford's priced at, are between 58 to 6,200 on FanDuel, he becomes more of a value pick, because now he could pop 30 points pretty easily in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely he could. And here's the thing. Have fun with him too. He's not going to get hurt. And, you know, the other thing is he's headed toward his contract. And he wants to make money, so he's going to be out there trying to kick some tail. And we hope that he does. Now, waiver wire picks for the week. Everybody wants waiver wires. They want sleepers. They want this. They want that. And God bless them. We're going to give it to them. Go ahead. Start firing away, Jason.
Well, the top picks right now are usually at this point of the season already, you're looking at guys that are filling in for injured stars. And DeMar DeRozan in Toronto is going to miss some time now with his injury. So now you've got a run on Raptor guards. And the question is, which one do you pick up? Lou Williams came out great last year. He's player of the week. He's scoring a ton of points, does what Lou Williams does, which is shoot the rock, get to the free throw line, score a lot of points. But the guy that you should be looking at that'll be picking up the minutes and what historically Toronto has done when DeRozan has missed games is play a lot of Grievous Vasquez. And Grievous is less than 50% owned in CBS leagues, season-long leagues. Grievous is going to pick up the minutes. He's got a great shot and is going to be in that starting lineup. Last night, Kyle Lowry does what he does when DeRozan hurt, which is he becomes Russell Westbrook out there dominating the rock. But Lou Williams kept the same role that he had before, which is coming off the bench as a scoring guard off the bench. And Grievous Vasquez is the guy that really stepped in and played more. You're also going to see more out of Terrence Ross, who might be a nice pickup out there at small forward, good shooter. Going to pick up a little more of the usage out there. But Vasquez is a guy that is not highly owned. A lot of people run into Lou Williams, but you got to keep an eye on Grievous Vasquez as one of the top pickups. Also, with Dwight Howard being out, you know, he hasn't played in a while with his knee injury. Donatas Mateyunas has been playing a lot of power forward out there, getting a lot of usage and getting a lot of interest out there as well. I mean, I'm only targeting guys that are probably around 50% owned and waiver wire because that's what you're going to have out there. Also, there's people out there that aren't haven't been sold on Timofey Mozgov in Denver, but Denver's playing a very fast-paced game out there. That's another thing you got to look at with these players is not just the volume of usage that they could possibly get or their role, but, you know, what's the pace that their team plays at? Denver plays at a pace that gives them a lot of possessions, and Mozgov's counting numbers have started to come up. So if you need a center, and that's where a lot of people are looking for a kind of fill-ins because the centers miss a lot of games, Mozgov is a guy in Denver that has assumed the role. JaVale McGee's been hurt. Mozgov's been starting, and he's got a lot of those West Coast fast-paced teams coming into Denver and puts up some really good counting stats out there. One more guy, Phil, I want to touch on in terms of injury replacement. Ricky Rubio's been hurt for a while, and Mo Williams, I'm surprised to see that he's still less than even 75% owned out there. Mo Williams can shoot the rock. Minnesota is a terrible defensive team, and they're going to have to shoot. They're going to give the ball to Mo Williams an awful lot to either generate offense or shoot the ball himself. He has had a couple of monster games recently, and Mo Williams is a guy, if you're looking for until Rubio comes back, Mo Williams is a guy that can put up really good scoring numbers, three-point numbers, and assist numbers while Rubio's out.
I like Mo. He put up darn near 40 fantasy points against Portland last night. That was huge. I had him in a game last night. Great picks, though, man. Great picks. You nailed it. I like Timofey Mozgov. For the life of me, I can't figure out why he's only 21% owned in fantasy leagues. But he is. You know what? He's not going to kill you anywhere. And he's getting 12. He's focused on it, 12 and 8, nearly two blocks a game. He's shooting from over 60% of the floor. He's not going to kill you anywhere. He'll steal. Right. He gets a steal. He gets a block here and there. God bless him. That's a great pick. I'm going this week. Shooting guard. Well, actually, let's start with my centers. Georgie Dieng is still less than 50% owned out there. Nikola Pekovic is out for another week. He's not coming back anytime soon. This guy is good to go. He was a great fantasy option over at FanDuel because he was less than $5,000 for the first week he was in. He was knocking down double doubles, and that was one of the guys I had when I cashed last week. But and when I say cash, I mean I won my tournament. But that was fun. But I'm going with Deang for sure this week from Minnesota. Another guy I like, Jason, is Danny Green. I don't like him at all. He's a scrub. But you know what? They have four games this week. He's knocking down trays. He's hitting over his last five games. He's averaging nearly three triples a night. That's and 12 points, three rebounds, two assists, and darn near three blocks a game. Plus, he shoots 60% from the floor and from three. He's a good one. Amari Stoudemire, he's another one. If Carmelo Anthony plays his disappearing act, which sometimes he does, Stoudemire is the only guy in town, and he's owned at 41%. Be careful about that. Keep that. If you run a streamer, Stoudemire might be your guy, and I've got one more. I think I got one more. If I have enough breath left in me. Channing Fry from Orlando. He's got four games, small forward, power forward. He's dual eligible. I like dual eligible. And I almost hate to recommend this guy. But if you need three-pointers, there might be your guy. He's averaging nearly two of them a night. The thing about Orlando players is a lot of them, Jox Vaughn is really good about playing guys for minutes. There's like six or seven Orlando Magic players who are averaging 30 minutes or more. Channing Fry is one of them. So you might want to look toward him.
Great call, Phil. Channing Fry, the thing about it is Orlando gave him a lot of money to come there. They are definitely going to play Fry. And sites where he's center eligible, you're getting three-pointers out of your center. And that's fantastic in the seasonal leagues. One quick point about Danny Green, especially if you're looking for a one-week pickup, is that San Antonio tonight going into Philadelphia may sit the big three, which means Danny Green will take more possessions, take more of the possessions. His usage is going to go up and give you the counting numbers you're looking for there, for sure.
Absolutely. That's a great call, too. That's why I didn't put Manu Ginobili in there this week, because they have four games. He's less than 50% owned also. There's another guy, Daily Sports, Daily Fantasy Basketball. These are the kind of guys you can get some great value for. Mm-hmm. And Omaron, can you make some money and go win some cash with the Flash over there? We're going to talk about more of that, though, on Wednesday. Now, let me see. Where's my little outline here? You know, who do you really like, though, this week? Who is your favorite pickup? Because I know you run streamers like I do. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite pickup of the week?
Well, I say Grievous Vasquez is the guy that I think that, you know, is going to get a lot. Toronto has a really good offense, really underrated. Vasquez is a guy that, always seems to kill the Atlanta Hawks, having to watch the Hawks for so many years. But gives you the three-pointers, gives you the assists. He's a tough matchup for opposing guards because he is really tall. Kyle Lowry's great. So when Vasquez is able to play off the ball, it's an excellent move. Another one of the guys that I think is sneaky out there, Phil, is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope of Detroit. Here's a guy that's not owned in half the leagues, but he's playing 34 minutes a game out there, and he gives you the three-pointers. If you're in a league that doesn't penalize you heavily for field goal percentage, because the guy's a 38% shooter, Caldwell-Pope's putting up some nice numbers. That is a crazy play, quiet, but if you're looking for a guy that's going to soak up a lot of minutes, that's a guy that can do it. Also, keep an eye on the Houston point guard situation. Isaiah Cannon has gotten hurt. Patrick Beverley's been out. They leaned on Jason Terry out there for some heavy minutes out there in Houston the other night. And JT came across. The Jet paid. But right now, Grievous Vasquez is one of my top picks. I say go get Mo Williams. If he's not owned in your league, you should really go grab him because he's a fantastic value right now, replacing Ricky Rubio.
And my best pickup of the week, Jason Walker from RotoAdvice.com. Thanks for being on my show, man.
Hey, Phil. Anytime, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate having you here. Thanks a lot. That was Jason Walker. You can find him over at RotoAdvice.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Until next time, you all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.